Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Thursday, May 24th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist, and I'll be hosting the show tonight. Charlie, my co-host, he is not going to be here tonight. He is attending the Florida homeschooling convention today. And we almost weren't going to have the show tonight, but then something came up that I believe you're going to find extremely interesting, that we're going to have an excellent show tonight. That we're having this is going to be a Memorial Day special, and it's called Take Back America This Memorial Day. So we're taking back America this Memorial Day. We have a special guest, Bruce Olson. He's with the Arizona Sentinel, arizonasentinel.com. And as we all know, Arizona has been has led the charge on many of the issues facing our country these days. And we have a major, major Memorial Day campaign to help us take back our country. You're definitely going to want to listen to this. If you want to call in and join the discussion, the phone number is 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to be placed in the host queue to speak on the air if you have any questions for Bruce or for me. And that way we'll know. You can call in and just listen, or you can call in and be on the call itself on the air. The other is we have a chat room open, so you're more than welcome to go out there and post your comments out on the chat room as well. And we'll be going there and we'll read stuff off of the chat room from time to time. There's a couple of things I wanted to mention before we get into the Memorial Day thing that blast. What we're going to do is an email blitz is what it's being referred to. Before I get into the details of that with Bruce, I want you to want to tell you two other things that are going on with Memorial Day. First off, about an hour or so ago, maybe 2 hours ago, I got this email about not going to Starbucks anymore. So I opened it to see what it was. And can you imagine that some of our troops had sent a letter to Starbucks and had asked them to get some coffee? They wanted to have Starbucks coffee because it's good. And Starbucks came back with a response that they did not support the war and they would not support anybody in the war. Starbucks literally refused to send coffee to the troops. If that's not disgusting, and if that's not something to think about on Memorial Day of what Starbucks is all about, you know, Starbucks maybe isn't the great American success story that we like to think it is. So that was pretty disgusting. I just couldn't believe that. And then the other is on Monday, we're going to have another Memorial Day special, and Tom Pastore is going to be joining us. Tom has been out there actively fighting to do the right type of celebration on Memorial Day, which is to recognize those who have died for our country, to show respect, to know what the true meaning of Memorial Day is. And Tom is more than happy to tell you that Memorial Day is not about going out and buying a mattress that's on sale. It's not about a barbecue. It's about taking the time to think of those who sacrificed, who gave their lives for us, for our freedoms, and that's what we should be taking the time to do, not all this other stuff that totally dismisses the meaning of it. And in Tom's pursuit to recognize the day for what it is and to get some people, get our culture back to what we're supposed to believe in, have some values here, he has been talking to various county commissions around the area, and Seminole County, the Seminole County Commission, they did actually pass a proclamation, and they're remembering what Memorial Day is all about. And we'll talk about that on Monday. I won't go into too much detail right now, but they did do that. Orange County Commission is not so generous, and we'll get into that too. But the whole point is we need to remember what Memorial Day is all about, and please tune in on Monday for that show. And tonight, like I say, we are here tonight to talk about Take Back America This Memorial Day. That's what this is all about. And I'm going to bring Bruce Olson on here in just a minute, and we'll get that discussion going. And again, Arizona knows all about fighting for the rights for America. Arizona knows all about what it takes to protect this country. We've got Sheriff Arpaio out there who's led the charge on the immigration issue and also on the Obama issue. And it's the Obama issue, which is what we're going to be dealing with this Memorial Day. So on that note, let me go ahead and open the line. Let's see if I can get Bruce on here. Bruce, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear you just fine.
All right.
Well, welcome to the show, and we've got 2 hours, almost 2 full hours here to tell everybody what's going on. We've got a lot of information. So if you could please tell us a little bit more. I told everybody to go to your website, the ArizonaSentinel.com, and sign up there. But can you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll get into the campaign that we have for Memorial Day.
Well, I'm a retired business person, I guess you could say. I spent 30 years in aircraft sales and maintenance, and 10 years as an automotive dealer, and I dabbled in commercial properties, still do that to some degree. But we moved out here to Arizona 10 years ago, and 2 weeks before the Rodeo Chedisky fire, and I've pretty much been on fire ever since. And I'm a Minuteman. I spent several tours down on the border, decided to go down and find out what that was all about, and got a wake-up call there. And then this Obama fella came along, and we've kind of had this plan in mind for, I don't know, maybe a year or so, kind of waiting for a special event, waiting for the pot to get a little hot, wait for the fire to peak. And this revelation the other day with Obama's literary agent kind of opened the doors wide open, and we thought we were really on to something here with our Secretary of State, but they got to him. So we've got a plan here to go after this thing. The other thing we're working on here in Arizona, and frankly around the western states, is property rights, water rights, grazing rights, Forest Service wasting money. I've been pushing the allodial title land patent update now for about 5 years, and we're now getting to where people are really starting to pay attention to owning property, absolute fee simple, because we recognize that the federal government and the administrations in recent years, including the Supreme Court, when you consider the New London, Connecticut decision on eminent domain not too long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we've got a big threat on our private property, and there's a major push out here in the West, western states west of the 100 meridian, which for those of you who aren't familiar with that, it's in North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma, Texas, runs a line down through there. And west of there, there's a major threat that the feds are trying to take control of our water. Well, we're stopping them. We're gonna end that deal. The fact is there's a case ongoing right now that pertains to that. Hopefully we'll have a decision by Friday that could be a landmark decision. And then we're working on another avenue of private property taxes. We put a group together here in Navajo County, and we're formalizing that. We've got some documents that we can put out that will pretty much explain how the American people have been hoodwinked when it comes to private property taxes. When I ran for governor, I had a platform that about half the audience didn't care for, but I gave it to them anyway. And that was that one of the reasons why people are having such a time right now is because you have to have both members of the family working. And it takes two incomes. Sometimes it takes three, maybe four. And one of the ways we could have eliminated a lot of that was property taxes. We've got a major issue here with a lot of people living here that are running around the state that pay no taxes at all, siphoning off the system, causing our debt at the state level to go up. And we could solve that in a heartbeat. But you got to get people in office that are willing to bite the bullet and run the legislation and risk losing the next election and get her done. That's basically me, I guess.
Yeah, and that's kind of how you and I met. As other people know, Charlie Klein and I have gone out there and we have our FBI complaint, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. Mm-hmm. And this, I guess it was on Tuesday when you had a conference call, and I called in, and we started talking about what we were doing and then what you guys were looking to do for Memorial Day and what we have to do to take this country back. We can no longer allow these people to continue doing what they're doing. Now, the Memorial Day event is going to be focusing on getting Obama out of office because he doesn't belong there, and it truly is a national threat to us. There's some things that we believe that he's working on that puts us at risk, and we really need to get him out of that office. And he shouldn't be there. He should not. He is not eligible to be there. And again, you know, Sheriff Arpaio has led the charge on proving whether Obama is a natural-born citizen. And, of course, Obama himself says he's not a natural-born citizen in his book. He says he's born in Kenya. So, you know, you can't have two truths here. So one of the first things we've got to do is demand that the people in Congress do what they're supposed to do. And at the state level, we have multiple levels of protection here to not allow a president become a dictator and a king, and which is what Obama is trying to be, at least in my opinion. Yet we have these people who do nothing. They violate their oath of office when they stand there doing nothing. So what we're doing on your effort here, the public notice of demand is going to the faces of these public servants who are violating their oath of office when they ignore the Constitution. And this is why this is critical for Memorial Day, and I'm going to let you explain all the details, what you're going to do, how you need people to sign in onto the ArizonaSentinel.com, get on the mailing list, and how you want this whole thing to go, what we're trying to plan here, because you know the details better than I do. But we have got to force the hand of these people who are in office today, because it's not just Obama violating the Constitution. It's everybody in those two houses of Congress called the Senate and the House of Representatives. And then at your state level, where they're violating their state statutes and the state rights. And when those two things happen, when those people refuse to do their job, it now becomes our job to do it. So that's kind of my summary of it, and I'll let you, again, explain it in more detail, the public notice of demand and everything.
Well, Sally, the model for this is the method and the way we shot down McCain-Kennedy amnesty in 2007. Phone calls, emails, faxes. I mean, we shut down switchboards. We basically took control of the District of Columbia. And the estimates were that somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 million people rallied to that cause. So over the last few months and so forth, we've been just here waiting for something to happen. And it happened. And so we thought it was, you know, you and I talked about this, we thought it would be fitting to launch this on Monday. But here's what we want to do. I was up late last night, early this morning, logging in email addresses. I could not believe the numbers that we got in the last 18 hours of email addresses for people who sent them in telling me that they had a list and that they were with us. They were in. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to start Sunday night because I've got too many addresses. I'll never get them out in time Monday morning. I wanted to have them out, like, you know, by 7 o'clock our time. That's 10 o'clock Eastern time. So I probably will start sometime around 4 in the morning, but I may send out some Sunday night. And what we're going to do is we're going to provide the links to the documents that we want to go to a variety of places. First of all, we want to bombard our regional and local FBI office. And the reason is because you can't, a citizen cannot get to Mueller, the director of the FBI, and I don't blame him. he'd have to have 19 phones on his desk. So what we'll do is we'll bombard the state and the regional offices of the FBI with this letter of demand. In addition to that, we want to bombard our congressional leadership in the House and the Senate with phone calls, faxes. I don't have them anymore, but there are people out there that still have the fax numbers in a group, in groupings of all of these Congress and or the House and Senate members in a data list. And I was hoping somebody would send that to me today so we'd have it available. I don't have it anymore. But we want to absolutely dominate the phone lines on Capitol Hill. And the way I see it, we've got 2 weeks to rally 35 million people to stand up and tell their leadership and their law enforcement, we want this nonsense stopped. This man is ineligible, and what he has done is committed treason in my mind. And the other issue here that escapes a lot of people, if this man makes it to the election or not, if he makes it to the election and is beat in the election, we're going to be supporting this fella for the rest of his natural life. And I have no desire to do that. He'll make plenty of money speaking to liberals. He don't need my tax money. So if we can get him removed with criminal charges pending, which is going to be difficult, and the only way I see to do that is with an FBI investigation that parallels with a congressional investigation, and the congressional investigation leads to an indictment. And this is serious stuff. Our country, our country, our culture, our way of life is totally dependent on what we do now in the next 2 weeks. The other issue here is we need to make a lot of noise with this before the Supreme Court comes down on Obamacare. Because if we can make this noise and get their attention, and we need to send these demand letters to them too. You know, every one of them, every nine justice needs to know that the American people are fed up with this, and you can send them to their law clerks. They'll get them. You know, and they'll get the message. And we have got to light a fire under the American people, and I believe we can. We did it with amnesty. I mean, we worked that night and day, and this is where we're at again. And if we can get this going hot and heavy and get everybody on the same page and focus on one thing, removing Barack Obama from the people's house, period, and do it legally. Do it legally. The pen is mightier than the sword, and folks, we have it available to us. We've got the best tool in the world. We've got phones. We've got faxes. We've got email. We've got shortwave. We've got everything we need to at our disposal to send a message. And we also need to send these letters of removal demand to our governors. And here's why. I believe that this country is going over a cliff financially. And I also believe, having been in this, I also believe that the governors at some point could be forced to run this country. I believe that with all my heart. Because the District of Columbia, unless we can get this done and get this man removed, the District of Columbia will be so far gone over the edge, we will never get it back. So we're on the short.
I am in such agreement with you. We are so close to the end. And that's the other reason why, to me, it is absolutely critical that people who are in Congress today, the Senate and the House of Representatives, and I don't care what party they belong to, if they're an American, if they're a legal American, then they better start protecting America. Or you know what? The American people better not keep reelecting these same morons. I mean, why do we keep electing people who don't believe in the Constitution? Don't honor the Constitution and don't respect it. It's outrageous to me. Yes.
Yesterday, Sally, I called 3 of our state offices. I did not talk to the top dog in that office like Ken Bennett or Tom Horn, but I talked to their mid-level staff, and I asked them 2 questions. One of these calls went to the state elections officer. I asked him if she knew who George Soros was. No, did not know who George Soros was. Never heard of him. I asked him if they had heard anything about this so-called Spanish holding company that the RNC and the DNC have signed off on to tally our votes. The answer in all 3 cases was no. So I pushed the matter and I said, okay, I want to know what's going to happen when I go down here to my precinct, put my ballot in the machine. What's going to happen to that ballot? Are you going to turn that ballot over to some outfit, an agency somewhere on the East Coast to count it, or are you going to count it here in the state? She said, no, I can assure you that we will count, our staff will count those votes, those ballots, tally the votes, and make them public at or around about 8 o'clock in the evening. Okay, now today, Ken Bennett, our Secretary of State, who is in charge of the elections in Oklahoma, did a 180 on us. Now, it wasn't a complete 180, but it was real close, probably closer to a 120-degree flip. But at the same time, what he did was folks in my corner of the world instantly lost confidence and lost the trust that we had in Ken Bennett in a minute, in a heartbeat. And I wrote him and told him that this afternoon. So now I'm concerned because if Mr. Bennett will bend on an issue as important as the constitutionality and eligibility of the man that sits in the White House, then will he bend when somebody says, no, you're not going to count these votes at the county level. You're going to send them to Baltimore or Virginia or some who knows where, and we're going to count them all here. And we'll report the tally back. Now, I'm concerned about that. That just happened the last 8 hours.
That's so disgusting. And that it makes me think of the Battle of Athens in 1946 when they tried to confiscate the ballots and do their own count. But let me. We do have a caller here who has a question for you. And the last 4 digits of your number is 6842. Caller, you're on the air. Can I get your name?
Yes, Sally, this is Terry Martin back in Gainesville, Florida.
Well, hey, Terry. I should have recognized that phone number. Sorry about that.
That's not a problem at all. The question I have is, and I know when we're talking about bringing in 35 million people, that's barely 10% of the populace here in the United States. But one of the things that we need to focus on here is the apathy of the American people. And, everybody's sitting back fat and happy, or they're hunkering down, they're not paying attention, and they're watching, who dances best when, as the government does a dirty dance around them. And what's your idea? You're talking about getting 10% of the populace. I hope that you can do that, but the apathy is just eating this country alive.
I couldn't agree with you more, Terry, but let me share something with you here. We know that about 55% of the American population occasionally vote. So if we have 312 million people in America, I happen to know from my experience in living in Arizona, the true number of illegal aliens living and residing in America that are being counted is around 40 million. And we know that for a fact because if you take into consideration the number of people that have crossed the border since Reagan gave amnesty to 3 million in 1986, you will get to 40 million plus. And we know that while I was working down there, we had anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 a month coming across that border. Okay? So it doesn't take long. Now, having said all that, if you consider 55%, you're back down to around 160 million people. Now, we know 160 million people don't vote. So 35 million is a greater percentage of the 55% of the American people who actually vote than 10%, if you get what I'm saying.
Sure, I understand.
The other thing is there's an old saying we used to say on the farm, and that was that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And if we make enough noise and let them know we're dead serious, and I got to tell you, I'm serious. I'm serious as a heartbeat. And we'd all better get serious because our whole system is going to change if we don't stop this. And we have the vehicle, fortunately, available to us, and that is the fact that he is ineligible to be in that White House. If he was eligible and was certified constitutionally eligible, we'd be in a world of hurt right now. But he's not. And I guarantee you that's why Joe Arpaio is hanging in there, because he understands that. He is not going to quit. He is not going to quit. And
thank God for that.
I'm sorry?
And so thank God for that. What would we do without Arpaio out there fighting for us?
That's right. Now, another good thing we've got going here in this country that's helped a lot in the last year, and that's the effort that Richard Mack's been doing with these county sheriffs. Because at some time, if we let this thing get away from us, our county sheriffs are going to be our last line of defense. And they're going to have to be prepared to step up, protect the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens in their county. This thing has so many elements to it. I can't get through them all in 2 hours. The bottom line is here, we have to focus, be determined, and do everything we can possibly think of, take advantage of every vehicle we can to convince somebody in the congressional leadership in the House to start a congressional investigation. And we've got to make certain that Mr. Mueller understands that we're serious about the legality of the man in the White House. And I'm convinced that, you know, he, like all these other bureaucrats out there, if they don't have pressure from the two parties or they don't have pressure from the American people, they're going to go with the flow.
It may be my imagination, but I'm hearing some weird sound effects in the background there.
Yeah, I can tell you what that weird sound is. It's my wife telling me she's on her way home from work. One of us has to have a job.
Okay, so that was the cell phone ringing. Okay.
I'm sorry about that. I just shut her off. I'll hear about that later. Anyway, so I understand your premise, Terry. To be honest with you, if I hadn't had the last 10 years' experience here in Arizona knowing what's come across that border as a candidate for a state position, studied the voting and this, that, and the other that actually takes place in a state, and in the western states, I paid particular attention to it. And so I'm confident, and we did this with 35 million people stepped up to Amnesty. I mean, there's just no question about it. And I believe we can do it again. And we got 2, maybe 3 weeks to get her done.
Well, I'll go on and get some of the forms. And one of the things I want to let you know is when we have a state and local and federal governments that they create laws, but they arbitrarily go out there and break their laws. And, you know, a prime example is we have Shands Hospital here in Gainesville. Well, they have a community bus that go down to poor neighborhoods. Well, they know where all the illegal immigrants are, and they're taking that bus and treating those people and giving them the inoculations and curing them or attempting to cure them of the venereal diseases that they're bringing to our country. They know about it, and yet they do nothing about it, and these people are eating us alive. And it's just another, you know, they say they create laws, but they don't even enforce their own laws, and it's a travesty.
Well, if they're going to inoculate them, they ought to inoculate them in a bus that's headed for the border.
Yes.
When we knew for a fact, I think it was in 2008, maybe 2007, you may have heard about it, they discovered leprosy in chicken farms in Arkansas. I think the number was 27 cases of it.
Yeah.
They traced those illegals right straight back to the border. And we had some issues down in Douglas, Arizona, major issues regarding health. And there's no question. I mean, I saw people come out of that desert that were in bad, bad shape, not just from dehydration. I finally had to quit. I couldn't go down there anymore. I was going to get in trouble. And but they say that border's closed. No, it's not. We've still got lots of people coming across that border. Now, we've got some new I don't want to get off track here, but there's some good things happening regarding that border, but it's because of the civilian force, and it's because the Border Patrol. It doesn't have anything to do with the federal government, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, but we've got to get this guy out of there. Plain and simple. We've got to focus on that's got to be our number one objective. It's like making a touchdown in football. You want that goalpost. You've got to get there. You've got to get there. And we've got to get there. And we need to call our friends, our neighbors, our family, and tell them you need to get on the phone and call D.C. You need these petition forms. They're not petition forms. They're a demand notice. And you can sign them. You don't need to notarize them. You're a sovereign citizen in the United States of this republic, period. When you notarize something, you assign yourself to the corporate stat. So you want to keep your sovereign position.
A lot of people don't understand that thing about the corporate piece. You just talk about being a
right.
corporate citizen versus the other. Could you maybe kind of explain that some?
Well, I got in trouble for this when I ran for governor here in Arizona. A lot of people don't realize that these states are corporations. And a lot of people don't realize that their counties are corporations. And some counties are not. I just found a county in Nevada the other day. It's not Idaho. That's not a corporation. And a lot of these counties are. Several years ago, I made a contact with a fellow named Walter Buren, and it was before I had decided to run, but what he exposed to me was the fact that these corporations hide a lot of money. And when they say that they have, let's say, $35 billion of debt, well, they do on this one set of books, but on this other set of books, they've got millions of dollars tied up in investment accounts. They're called confidential annual financial reports, CAPERS. And interestingly enough, I'm not getting off subject here because this is all relevant. Interestingly enough, the guy that just beat that rhino in Indiana, Lugar, Murdoch, he was on Washington Journal the other morning and exposed the fact that they were making their CAPER public. Now, Why is that important? Because property taxes on private residences are being levied by a county and a state that's a corporation that you as a citizen have no contract with. And there's no full disclosure. So the only people in the Arizona statutes that are obligated to pay property taxes are residences. Now, what's the difference between a resident and a citizen? A citizen, this is, like where I'm at right now, this is my primary resident, and I'm an American citizen. By statute, by the Constitution of Arizona, and by the Constitution of the United States of America, owning private property is a right. You can't tax a right. And we've studied the statutes in Arizona, and there's no provision that allows anybody to charge you property tax if you're a citizen. And that's the corporate. They bring you into the corporate side of it, and that's, in my view, it's illegal. And we're pushing it. We're going after it here in Arizona. Now, why does that relate to the federal government? Because the federal government owes $16 trillion. The federal government, the United States, the corporation of, is a corporation. And the corporation is where that debt exists. So everybody keeps wondering, well, why do they keep raising the debt limit? It's because they know what nobody in America knows. And that is that that debt belongs to the United States, the corporation. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's a fraud. Here's another side of that. Yeah. In 1987,
excuse me. Yeah, excuse me for just 1 minute. Hey,
okay.
We've got a caller here.
Okay,
this caller, I happen to recognize the phone number. It's my father. He has a question.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, you're on the line.
Okay, Sally, what is your station number? Can this be gotten on the Internet?
Yes. Yes, this is
okay,
placed on the Internet.
They have to go to
American Statesman Blog Talk Radio.
American Statesman Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Okay, because what's name is trying to get you on the internet. So, yeah.
Yep.
So far, I agree with everything I've been hearing. We do need to get rid of that man that's in office because he is strictly wanting to rule everything, and he's definitely a detriment to this country. Yeah. That was America's Statesman.
Yes. Tell her I'll email her the link in just a second.
Yeah, okay. Will do.
Okay.
All right. Okay,
did you have any...
back.
Okay.
Well, everything I'm hearing, I agree with everything I've heard. And sometimes maybe I think a little bit stronger about the situation we're facing. But the fact is we have to pay attention to what's going on. And we... if we don't take that man out of office, this country is gone. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that. So thank you for your time. I'll listen some more.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay, Bruce. Sorry. Well, that was kind of funny.
Well, that's all
my
right.
My father, he always listens via the telephone.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Well, anyway, my point is this. Obama is just the tip of the iceberg. This problem we're facing with property has been headed in this direction for a long time. I'll give you an example. In 1987, James Baker, then Secretary of Treasury for Ronald Reagan, made the statement at a national press club. I heard it. I watched it. He said that the IMF and the World Bank would no longer loan money to the United States unless it was collateralized, unless it was securitized. Well, what did the United States claim to have that they could securitize, collateralize? Well, it was land in the western part of the state that they claimed was federal land. Well, when we had the fire out here, I discovered and made the statement in several meetings with the Forest Service that the federal government did not own this land. We did. And what happened was that nobody ever challenged me. And then one night a guy walked up to me and he said, Bruce, do you remember when Ronald Reagan formed a commission to study the idea of giving the land back to the private owners in the West? And I thought for a minute, and I did remember something about that. And he said, do you know what happened to that commission? And I said, no. He said they killed it because they discovered they couldn't give back what they didn't own. So the debt that this federal government tells everybody in the United States that they owe, they have convinced China and the other, whatever it is, 37 countries that own our debt, that their money is secured by land in the western part of the United States that the federal government has no claim to. And that's a fact. So when I tell you that the man sitting in the White House could very well put us into a very serious war with one of our lenders over a fraud perpetrated to gain revenue or cash, at some point in time, they're going to want their money. And when they come for it and they think they're going to get this land out here west of the 100 Meridian, I got it news for them. The federal government does not own it. We do. Now, Bush kept our borders open. Clinton didn't help. Reagan opened the door. And Obama is a Marxist who follows the Communist Manifesto, and they have no use for private property.
And, you know, the thing, too, when we talk about all of that, Agenda 21, it's amazing how many Americans are totally clueless. It's amazing how many of the people in public office are totally clueless. And I want to make sure I let everybody know this, because this just happened this week. I called Senator Rubio's office, and I said I wanted to know what his position was. Of course, I talked to his assistant, not him, of LOST, the Law of the Sea Treaty, the one that's going to take over the ownership of the seas. And that person in that office had no clue what I was talking about and said he didn't know what Senator Rubio's position was on that. And I said, you know, this is kind of an important thing. And I complained to the assistant, and I did later send a fax to Rubio's office, would you stop campaigning for Mitt Romney and do your job? You know, these people are out there doing this crap. Here, he has no clue. And Rubio, he doesn't vote half the time. He misses the votes. And yet people want this guy to be the vice president? You guys better watch out for this guy, too.
Rubio's not eligible to be vice president.
He's not, but you know what? Isn't it amazing how the Republican Party refuses to talk about it? And, of course, the media isn't going to say anything either. And I think, personally, when it comes to, well, we know Fox News and them, they're all pro-Rubio and whatever. But when it comes to the left wing of the media, they're waiting until Rubio gets picked, and then they're going to come down and say, what are you talking about? He's no more eligible to be that than Obama is to be the president. And for those who aren't familiar with this piece of it, Rubio, both of his parents were born in Cuba. He is not a natural citizen. If you cannot qualify to be the president, then you can't qualify to be the vice president either, because you might be the president. So yeah. Rubio is not eligible to be it. So they shouldn't even be talking about it. But this is the garbage you get from the media.
Here's why they are, Sally. Here's why they are. Rupert Murdoch is in trouble in Britain. Eric Holder is looking for every way he possibly can to go after Rupert Murdoch. So in the last 3 weeks, Rupert Murdoch has made two very sound moves. Now, Sean Hannity has been supporting Rubio all along. But in the last 3 weeks, Fox News has hired Jesse Jackson's daughter to be a Fox analyst, a contributor. And he's done that to CYA, his issue in Britain, to take Holder off of his back. It's that simple. They're doing everything they can to protect Obama. And we started this with when Hillary Care started, when amnesty started in 86, there's been a steady progression to destroy the Constitution. In 93, when Greenspan started lowering interest rates, I was raising hell with Jim Inhofe. You've got to stop him. If he keeps that up, keeps lowering those interest rates below market rates, he's going to kill this economy, and they got her done with Bernanke, and here we are. So we've
exactly.
got to get Ron Paul in that office.
We do. And, you know, that's the other part, too. And this is the number one reason why Charles Klein and I came up with this FBI complaint. Because we know that the political parties insulate those that are in public office, you know, it's such a collusion between the two parties and those in public office that we had to come up with another approach to get past this, to demand that something get done, because both of the parties are illegal monopolies. Judge Napolitano has said that umpteen times on the air, but they are, and they are in collusion to destroy the country. And so we finally said, okay, we're going to go take a legal approach, the antitrust, violations of the Sherman Act, violations of the Clayton Act, violations of the Hobbs Act, violations here in Florida of the Wagner v. Gray ruling from the Supreme Court. There's all these things that say these elections are illegal, are controlled and operated illegally. And that's the whole reason why Ron Paul is not out in front right this moment. I have no doubt if we actually did not have these political parties controlling the outcome that Ron Paul would be the front runner right now. Do you have any doubt with that? Do you agree with what I said?
Oh, no. No. No, absolutely. I'm one of those that supported Ross Perot back in his day, and we'd have a totally different country if the Republican Party hadn't sabotaged his deal at the end of the deal. That's why he quit. You bet he went crazy. They were threatening his family. And anybody that thinks that the RNC didn't have anything to do with that is out of their mind. I'm not a Romney basher. Other than I know he will be controlled by the RNC, and we'll just have more of the same, and we just got to stop it. We got to stop it. I mean, I'm a businessman. I admire what Romney did, how he did it, the fact that he made a ton of money. That's what life's all about. I'm all for that. But at the end of the day, we've got to have somebody in there that's not party, that's not wrapped himself around a party. And the only guy there is and Gary Johnson. I'm a Gary Johnson fan. Matter of fact, there's two candidates I've sent money in the last 12 months. One of them's Gary and the other one's Ron. And I support Gary Johnson because, frankly, between you and I and a fence post, I'd like to see a Ron Paul Johnson ticket. Johnson knows. I mean, Johnson's one of the few governors in the country that, I mean, I paid attention to his term in office. He had two terms. I mean, he had a Democratic legislature, and he controlled spending and saved money and cut property taxes. In fact, and. I'm a big fan of Gary Johnson, but at the end of the day, and the other thing is, I've not looked into this, but if we get a congressional investigation started, that puts everything Obama has done to date in limbo.
Exactly.
And getting it, it goes away. Because this guy's, he's a criminal.
He is a criminal, and the other question I continue to ask is, what do you say, what is the, are those that are in the Senate and the House of Representatives, are they also not criminally liable for the fact they have been derelict in their duties, they have violated the rules of law, and these types of things? Because, I am so sick of the crap that they just totally ignore the Constitution, and I tell people, and Romney doesn't know the Constitution, You know, he supports the Patriot Act. He supports NDAA. Romney has no clue what the Constitution is. And when it comes down to the stuff like the property rights and things like that, he has no clue. He doesn't know that.
No, he does not.
These people that are doing this stuff, and I am so sick of them violating our rights. And yet, if we go to stand up for our rights, this thing on this property, I really didn't know that either to that extent. And you know what? I don't feel like paying any more property taxes, so I got to figure out what I got to do here in Orange County, Florida, because they keep stealing my property, making me pay for it too. But we've got to do something about these people who openly violate their oath of office. Now, just for people from Florida out there, so you know, yesterday I faxed a letter to Pam Bondi, she's our attorney general. I faxed a letter to her saying, you know what, you're violating the office. Obama does not belong on the Florida ballot. She needs to get with the Secretary of State. He is not eligible to be on this ballot, and for her to ignore that fact is a violation of her oath of office and her to uphold the Constitution, the United States, and the Florida Constitution. You know, and we haven't really touched too much on the Tenth Amendment piece of this here. But, I mean, I don't know about others, but I'm just totally, totally disgusted that these people never they violate their oath every day.
Well, you just brought something to my mind. You know, during the 2010 campaign, and we hear a little bit about it now, and we heard a lot about it in 08 and 09, and that was sovereignty. Well, I got out the dictionary one day when I was running, and I looked up the definition of sovereignty. And because I was concerned as to why these states were so beholden to the federal dollar. Because I was running around saying, and I would have done this, I would have stopped sending money to Washington, D.C., just stopped it. And I had some other things I was going to do that I won't go into here, but I was going to stop sending money to Washington, D.C. Let them do whatever they want to, whatever they think they can do. I got DPS here. We'll just get after it. But I couldn't figure out all these years why they were so beholden to it, and here's why. Once you take, if I loan you money, you're beholden to me. You're no longer sovereign. That applies to an individual as well as a county or a state. If a state borrows money, whoever they've borrowed that money from, like when we sold the Capitol building down here and the House and the Senate building to a bunch of bankers, the state was beholden to those folks. Well, the state is beholden to the federal government when they borrow money to pay access and all this other stuff. The only way to become sovereign is to not be beholden to anybody. And the only way to do that is to stop taking money from the federal government. Shut them off. Now, I like to say if I had the power, I'd throw a rope around the District of Columbia, drag it down the Potomac, pull it out to sea and let it sink, and restart in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And I have an idea that we might be headed there.
Well, I totally agree. And, you know, I have tried to explain some of that to people, too, because just like with highways and things like that, when you get money from D.C., you're on the hook.
That's right.
There was this contract. And I keep saying, why do we keep going to D.C. for this money? There are some things... that's why D.C. is supposed to be a limited government. You're supposed to control it. There should be no money in Florida from D.C. for education. We should have our own education system, our own control over it. We should not have anything to do with D.C. So, and I think that's just one example. Transportation is another. And you can't, it's both parties. The collusion, the mess is across the board. I am a strong believer of George Washington's philosophy that the parties will destroy this country, which is what I think they have done. I blame this more on political parties as one source of the issue, probably more so than anything else, because the parties allow people to be so corrupted, and it's so disgusting. And, you know, people get mad at me when I say, re-elect no one. They say, you mean you wouldn't even re-elect so-and-so? I said, no. They've been there too long. They're not supposed to be career politicians. You know, it was Jefferson who warned us about term limits. Jefferson really fought to have term limits because he believed that these people would get up there and they would take over this country. They would no longer be representatives. And again, that's a key source in our complaint, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. We are denied the representation of our choice. We have no representation. These people are not representing anything to do with us. And that's at the state level as well. The whole process is so corrupt. And, you know, we've got to do something. And I'm hoping, you know, this is the kickoff to get Obama out of there. He doesn't belong there. What happened to the rule of law, you know?
You mentioned the Law of Sea Treaty. I recorded the hearing yesterday and listened to Clinton and Panetta and Chairman of Joint Chiefs address the panel there. And there was one senator from, I believe it was Nevada, that put it out there, what we've been saying for, I think Biden tried to pass the Law of Sea Treaty in 2007, if I remember, and a lot of veterans and ex-military people rallied around it and got that shut down. They better do it again, because what he exposed yesterday is what we've known all along, and that there is conditions inside that convention agreement that are disastrous to American interest. Now, Clinton, Hillary, she's smart, and she put a spin on it and glossed over it, not to his satisfaction, but Senator Kerry was the chairman of the committee. And by the time the senator from Nevada was through, it was obvious he was a little hot under the collar because she wasn't answering the question. And Kerry had to smooth it all out at the end of the session by saying, we'll make sure you're satisfied at the end of the day. Well, let me tell you something. They pass that Law of Sea Treaty, this country is going to be dramatically different. And Obama is going to sign that treaty in a heartbeat if the Senate passes it. So, of course, it'll have to go to conference and then back to the House and so forth. But we've got to stop that treaty. Got to stop it. But right now, we've got to concentrate on one thing, and that's getting Obama legally removed from the White House.
That is what we have to do. And again, do you want to tell people how to go to the website? You know, you can brush a little bit more.
They can. Yeah. I'm going to leave our announcement, if you will, up on the top page of the website or blog site, which is www.thearizonasentinel.com. I'm going to leave that up until probably Monday night or maybe Tuesday, probably Monday night. But what people can do is I want people to, they don't need to send me their email list. If they do, I'm going to use it. But what I want people to do is send me their email address, and then I will, Monday morning or Sunday evening, I'm going to send them the documents that they want, that we want them to use, and if they want to, you know, make them stronger, change some of the language, you know, do whatever you want to do. But I would prefer that you didn't, because we've spent a lot of time on it. But use those documents and send them to your congressman, your governors, your local FBI office. And I'm going to tell you, you know, there's a lot of good people working in these law enforcement agencies. I've worked with them in the past, and they're good Americans, but they've got to do what the leadership tells them to do, and if they want to keep their job in their retirement and support their families. So if we put the pressure on it from the bottom and it sifts up to the top so that they're covered, and then the regional managers and directors of these agencies, of these offices, it will get to the top. And if we can put enough pressure on Mueller, he'll be forced to act. And here's why. These agencies compete with one another for money, prestige, power, longevity, and so forth. And if one agency or one department or one congressman says, hey, the American people are fed up, I'm going to start an investigation. He goes across the hall and he says, hey, I'm going to start this. These people are fed up. Which side of this thing do you want to be on? The right side or the left side? And first thing you know, you've got a coalition of people all headed down the same road. And we're going to start that. That's my
hope. Before we get off this call tonight, too, I'll make sure we talk about the conference call next week if people are interested in listening in. I believe you were in the process of setting it up, but I think it was going to be for next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday night, I thought it would be a good idea to have a conference call. We could do it on this here, Sally, if you want to.
Okay.
Well, you've got the vehicle. We might as well use it. Worked fine with me, but we thought we'd have a conference call and have some people call in that maybe were working on it, had some kind of issue or whatever, or maybe saw some reaction and response from people that they had emailed these documents to. It's a snowball effect. And you start it over here, and next thing you know, it's 150 times the size of what it was when it started, and that's what we got to do. So we'll just kind of brief next Wednesday night as to how things have moved along, and I think probably we might ought to do that every week to see if we get any feedback from any of these people we're sending this stuff to, whether it be positive or negative. We're going to get a lot of flack, I can guarantee you.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get a lot of flack.
Okay, well, we have another caller here who I happen to know is from Texas, and she is a live wire. She's going to help us get this job done. Doreen, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Nancy. And I believe our guest name is Bruce. I believe I spoke to you on the phone before, Mr. Bruce.
Your voice sounds familiar.
Yeah, I called you via Nancy Battle.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And you were sitting by the fire when I spoke to you. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad I got so excited when Nancy gave me the information of what you were going to do, and then I kept waiting and kept waiting, and I began to pout, I have to tell you, and I pout big time. But now that we're doing this, you've got me pumped again. And in listening to you talk, the listeners out there, I want you to listen, because I'm going to give you a little push on how to make handing out 400 sheets of paper turn into 40,000 letters, if you don't mind if I do that.
No, absolutely. I know where you're going. Go ahead.
When a few years ago, I took on Walmart here in my little town, and people said I was crazy and I couldn't do nothing about it because I didn't want to take that fabric department out of Walmart store. Well, I took me a little lawn chair, and y'all don't have to do this, but I'm going to tell you how this works. I took a little lawn chair, and I made me a sign telling people to help me save the fabric department. Now, I drew up a letter just like Bruce is doing with the letters and so forth that he wants you to send out, or to fax, or to email, or whatever, to whomever to get their damn attention. And I'm going to use a little bit of Texas foul mouth here, but it's not going to be too bad, but I'm too excited, and I'm not going to be nice about this anymore. So anyway, I wrote up this letter, and I addressed the letter, put the inside address to where I want people to mail it. And I wrote it all out, and I left a place for the person to sign their name. All they had to do, and when I handed them this letter, as I handed it out on the street corner in front of Walmart, the cars going by, I just asked them to put it in an envelope and mail it to that address. Now, when I got through, I was told by the store manager here that they had received over 40,000 letters. I used one ream of paper to do that, and I spent off and on about a week standing out handing out my emails, this mail. So if you don't know how to get something like this going, I'm telling you how to do it. Don't be bashful. There's people out there that know how you feel, and they are feeling the same way you are, but they do not know how to fix it. And the people, when they drove through and they got my letter and they saw what I were doing, they said, "We are so glad you're doing this for us. We didn't know what to do." Well, now we're telling you. You've got a phone, you've got a computer. If you don't have a fax machine in your computer like I have on mine, then don't worry about the fax. You just get on the phone and you send emails. Go stand on the corner or walk around your neighborhood and hand this paper out. You take that paper when you get it. You put the inside address on it to your senator, your governor, to whoever, and hand it out in your neighborhood. We will get this ball rolling.
Another way to do that is to, if you'll make the copies of these forms and these papers that we're going to present to you, go to the soccer games on Saturday, to the soccer fields out in your community. Stand out inside your church. You know, you won't get arrested for that. Hand these things out. But a lot of these parents that got kids, they're paying attention now, I can tell you. Let me tell you something that happened to me that goes along those same lines you were just talking about. When I ran for governor, I had about 400 email addresses. Well, as of today, I'm over 11,000. It snowballs. It grows exponentially. And so, you know, if you have the ability to make copies, go hand them out, you know, and tell them, you need to send this to your congressman, you need to send this one to the FBI, you need to send this one to your governor, this demand letter to the governor, and demand action. But I'm telling you, these governors are facing something that could be coming at them here real soon, and they're going to have to stand up. And so, you know, we've got to mobilize America.
And you can't be, don't be afraid.
Nope.
Just put a smile on your face and say, "I'm working to get rid of that thing sitting in the White House," and most people will snatch it out of your hand.
Yep, and gun shows. Take these documents to gun shows. You will find nobody that goes to a gun show that doesn't know that Obama is an illegitimate president.
Exactly it. And, I have a feeling we are going to, it's going to snowball big time. The response, I mean, I can tell you just with Charlie and I and this complaint that we've been working on, which we spent the past 10 months putting it together, talking to people and things like that. And overwhelmingly, people are so happy somebody's doing something because they, just like Doreen was saying, they don't know what to do. And now they are willing. Not everybody. You still got those, and I'll call them the sheeple because I don't know what else to call them, who won't sign anything, who won't, you know, stand up and be counted. But the majority of Americans are really ready to take this country back, and now is the time to do it. And I just hope that we figure a way to get a constitutional leader in there such as Ron Paul. Because I think that, you know, getting Obama out of there is the first step. Getting somebody in there who actually knows the Constitution and believes in it is going to be the second step, which I just think is so critical to what's going to happen here. I was going to ask you, the other, just for all the various state offices, like I said, you mentioned the governor. Now, I sent stuff to the Attorney General for Florida, and I'll be sending more to her than the Secretary of State. Who else at the state level, local level, who do you think we should be contacting?
Well, I don't know. You know, you can call the President of your Senate. You can call the Speaker of your get in touch with the Speaker of your House. But we've got a great, in my view, Attorney General here in Arizona with Tom Horn. Fact is, I'm hoping he'll run for governor next time because I will get behind him. But I'm going to get this paperwork in front of him, I can assure you. I'm going to send it to Brewer for whatever that's worth. But the thing is what they do with it when they get it, is not so much as important as them knowing that all 50 governors are getting this same information and the same demand in the same period. And they're no different than anybody else. They, you know, a lot of these governors are looking to step up as a senator somewhere. And if they don't have public support when they get voted out of governor's office or termed out, either one, and they've been on the wrong side of an issue that is obvious to everybody with a brain, they're not going anywhere. Ken Bennett, he's done. I mean, I don't, you know, I've only met him once. Never had a conversation with him, but I've paid a lot of attention to him over the years. And I can tell you, folks like me in Arizona, we'll do everything we can to keep him from going any further politically. And he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. But
yeah, Doreen,
being on the wrong side of something, we don't need that. We got to stop that.
The main thing that we have to interact, we're going to work hard at doing this, but, you know, people, you have to remember, this election is not just about who we're going to elect as president.
Right.
This election is about who you're going to get out of Congress in Washington. You have to, and it's not about parties anymore. We don't have any parties that's worth even considering taken into consideration. What we have to look at are the people who are running. Not they're a Democrat and not they're a Republican. If there's someone out there that's saying they're a Democrat, but they are a constitutional conservative running on the Democratic Party ticket, you better vote for them. If you're a Democrat, but there's a constitutional conservative running on the Republican Party ballot, and there's no one in the Democratic Party that you like, you better vote for them. Because this is not about Democrat and Republican anymore. This is about people who are running for office who want to be a public servant, not a politician, not a career politician. They're not looking to go in and make $1 million off of this job. They're going in there to take this country back. That's who you've got to vote for.
When I ran as a libertarian because I didn't want to have to put up with John McCain in the primary. And I have to tell you, as a libertarian, I was a conservative libertarian. I went out to Vegas and went to a Campaign for Liberty event and sat down with Wayne. Oh, I can't remember his last name now. He wrote The Conscience of a Libertarian. Wayne Allen Root. He was doing a seminar, and I went to it and talked to him after the seminar was over. And at the end of the deal, he said, "Bruce, I can tell you what you are. You're a constitutionally conservative libertarian. That's what you are." And so when I came back, I filed as a libertarian. But people wouldn't give me the time of day. They wouldn't give me the time of day. I mean, I took a few counties. I took 5 counties, I think it was. But they all said, "Well, you're a dope pusher. You're a dope smoker." And I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, and have never touched drugs. But I said, "Folks, you don't understand. I've been on that border, and I know exactly what we need to do to stop a lot of that border traffic, and to stop girls and young kids from being raped down there on the desert." And I have to tell you, I'm a grandfather, and I've got grandkids, and those girls and those kids belong to somebody. And I'll stop it. But I got absolutely nowhere.
You were a good candidate, but people weren't looking at you for what you were standing for and what you were willing to do when you got into office. And they looked at the label that you had in front of your name.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What I'm saying. We can't do this anymore.
Yep. Yep. I've got friends right now that have called me to say, "What do you think? Do you think I ought to run this next time?" And I say, "Hey, I'm not going to advise you one way or the other. I can just tell you what my experience was, and I'm here to tell you, if you run as anything but a Republican or Democrat, they'll nail you, and they did. I mean, I had a lot of support. I think it was 30 some events, and I felt like I was really going to take that primary, and then something happened that way out of the blue that totally blew it apart, and I don't want to get into it here because it's too close to Texas, but I just knew I was going to win the primary, and when 1070 came about, you know, we knew that 2 days before Jan signed 1070, she wasn't going to sign it. And Russell convinced her, said, hey, you're never going to get elected if you don't sign 1070, because there's a couple of candidates out there just chomping at the bit to sign that bill. So it's an interesting game, but I enjoyed it. It was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my life. I made a lot of friends. I made some enemies, serious enemies. But hey, that's what life's all about, you know.
Well, you know, the other thing too, going back to something Doreen said, and we said it many times here on American Statesman, vote for America. Would you stop voting for a stupid party? Did you take a pledge of allegiance? Do you pledge your allegiance to the Republican Party or to the Democrat Party, or do you pledge allegiance to this country? You know, you better think about that. And I do believe today, since we have more no-party affiliation voters than ever before, and there's a lot more of them than there are either Democrats or Republicans, that we are seeing a little bit of a shift. But the problem is, and this is because of the media, 99% of the media, and going back to this illegal monopolies of these parties, that people are scared to vote for somebody who's a no-party affiliate or whatever. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, we have to vote for Romney because what, you know, who else is there? It's either Romney or Obama. And I'm like, no, that isn't the way it is if we force the change.
Well, but
if you're going to be a sheeple, you know, and at some point, if Americans continue to be sheeples, it's all over anyway. It truly is.
But, Sally, a lot of states have the problem we have in Arizona. I had lots of Republicans and Democrats that were supporting me. However, they couldn't vote for me in the primary because the Libertarians closed the primary. And you've got to change the process at the state level. You can't – the Libertarians, they're run by a club here in Arizona that control it, and they don't want outsiders in it. They don't want to mess up their little deal. So at the state level – and a lot of these states have their primaries closed. The Republicans are talking about closing it next time.
Well, yeah, because the Republicans, and in Florida we have closed elections too, and that's a whole other deal, and we'll get into all that means in the overall scheme of things. But that, again, is critical why we're doing this this challenge to them filing a complaint, because they are illegal monopolies that control the elections. That's not what's supposed to be happening here. There is something that I want to make sure. I don't know if – I haven't heard anything about Arizona, but I do know what's going on in Texas big time and in here in Florida to some degree too. Have you heard of the group called GO, Get Out of Our House? It's go.com. We stepped in goo. It's spelled G-O-O-H.com. We stepped in goo, so now we have to go and get them out of our house. GO is a process to help get candidates on the ballot. And they don't care. GO doesn't care what you run under. They tell you strategically to run in the primary against whoever the incumbent is. So you've been vetted by your district, your congressional district. You've been selected to be the GO candidate. It's not a political party. Now go register against the incumbent and go in the primary for that. And, again, which means the party means nothing. It's strictly a strategy to how to get elected, because they neither stand for anything. So I don't know if you're familiar with GO in Arizona, but that is something that's happening. And more importantly, it's a nationwide shift of people who are totally fed up with corrupt elections. fed up with Dick Morris out there flapping his jaws and he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. You know, every time I see Dick Morris on Fox News, I click it off. And the truth is I don't watch Fox News nearly as much as I used to because there's nothing but blather out there. Like you said, they've been converted. They're now a bunch of liberal sheeples, too, really, to a big degree. And Hannity, you know, whatever. They're owned and controlled by the parties, which is why we have this other issue going out there, why we need people to help us, we the people versus the ballot box establishment, in addition to what we're doing here. Get Obama out of there first, but no, we have to take up this other issue, too. The two have to be done. The other thing when it comes to communicating out there, I really encourage people to go to opencongress.org, go to that website. You can do a letter and post it there. You can do a letter and have them deliver it to the congressional office. There's a lot of stuff out there you can do, too. So there's all other types of options on that. But I totally understand Florida's a closed primaries, and we actually talk about that problem, too.
If anybody is out there that has the current complete email addresses for the House and the Senate, I had it 2 years ago, but I don't have it anymore, and it's not current anyway. If they have the current one with the existing membership, if they want to send that to me, I'll make that available to anybody that requests it, and I'll indicate that we have it and would forward that on. I mean, one thing I learned when we were doing amnesty is there's ways around the issue of calling them and them saying, well, you're calling from 918 area code, and I don't represent 918 area code. There's ways around that. And with emails or letters, there's ways around that, and it's really easy. But if anybody has those email addresses, if they want to send them to me, I'll probably look for them myself tomorrow because they're bound to be somewhere on the web. The governor's email addresses, somebody in each state, if somebody in the 50 states would send me the email addresses for their particular state, I'll collate those things and make those available. I'd be glad to look all this stuff up myself, but I got to tell you, I spent all day today recording email addresses. I mean, it was amazing. And because I didn't work this side of it when we did amnesty. I was on the other side of it. And it's fascinating. It's motivating. It's exciting. It's, you know, I can see that sucker going back to Chicago and renting that house back, maybe. Or having an ankle thing around his ankle.
We could hope.
Oh, we're going to ship him back to Kenya.
Well, all of his family's living here now, though, except his brother.
Well, hell, attach him to him and take them all back.
Well, you know
no
what?
No argument there. Yeah.
Kenya's not that bad of a place. If you look at some of those cities there, you know, there's some nice-looking towns in Kenya. I've Googled it and looked at it. Not too bad.
Yeah, but you know what? See, he's making them look like a bunch of jackasses over there. Because they've all been so proud to have him as the first black president of the United States. Well, when they wake up and realize this man's been lying all along.
I think there's a statue there somewhere of him.
Yeah, there is. They're going to be so damn embarrassed they don't want even want him. They may send him over to Brazil.
Okay, we have John who wants to get into this discussion, and let's see. John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
We can hear you.
Hi, John.
Hi, Bruce. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I have actually two questions, if you don't mind. My first question pertains to Sheriff Joe. If he has all the authority that the office of the sheriff, I believe, has, he should be able to demand a congressional investigation, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think so.
Okay. And
what he can do if it's a crime within the state of his jurisdiction exists nowhere outside of Maricopa County.
Okay.
But he is the highest law enforcement officer in the world in Maricopa County. Now, to give you shed some light on that idea, we were trying to get him to arrest Obama when he landed at Sky Harbor. Now, there was some of that going on here in the state. And we said, hey, just go out there with your SWAT team. You know he's committed treason, and just arrest him. Now, that may be a touch-and-go situation, but what he can do is he can encourage the attorney general or the governor, for that matter, because he has, once he is absolute certain without a doubt that this man is a criminal, that he might get him to go for an indictment, and if we had a senator or a House member at the federal level that wasn't just phony, he could encourage them to start a congressional investigation, but he can't order it. But what he can do is, if you committed a crime against the citizens of Maricopa County, and I'm of the opinion that Joe's of the opinion that he has, he should be able to arrest him when he lands at Sky Harbor. Now, the federal government right now is suing Joe over this immigration thing in 1070.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere have we seen anywhere where Joe has answered that complaint, that suit.
Correct.
And here's why I think he has not. And then let's get to your second question. I think Joe understands that as a county sheriff, he's the highest law enforcement officer in that county. And he does not have to answer to a lawsuit brought on him from the corporation of the United States. If he answers that lawsuit, this is my opinion based on what I've learned in the last year. In my view, if he answered that lawsuit, he would instantly enter himself into the corporate status.
Correct.
And that's why I think he hasn't answered the lawsuit. And as long as he doesn't, we're involved in a deal down in Tombstone right now. I'm kind of involved in that deal down there where the water lines are being threatened. And so anyway, let's get to your second question.
Okay, let me elaborate on that just for a little bit, if you don't mind. If he's the highest elected law enforcement officer in Maricopa County, my guess is the highest elected law enforcement officer in the country is the Attorney General. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and we know how corrupt he is. Well, who supersedes him that he could go to present the information that he has?
Well, Eric Holder works at the pleasure of the president. If the president wanted Eric Holder to be gone over this gun running thing, he could be gone in the morning. The only way I know of to get rid of Eric Holder is for a congressional investigation to start and for the House Judicial Committee to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Eric Holder.
Correct. But nobody seems to be doing that.
No. And they're not going to. They're not going to. There's one man in the Republican Party that swings the bat. And until he's retired and put in a home, the Republican Party has got a serious, serious problem.
I agree. My second question is, how do we get Ron Paul more exposure than he's been getting from the media, besides word of mouth? I mean, how do we get to somebody in the media to stop the silence of what he is trying to bring to America, which is very good?
Well, unfortunately, you know, a lot of us were hoping that the Tea Party organization would stay away from the Republican Party. Just to give you a little insight on that, when I was running, a friend of mine, we developed what we called the Tea Party emblem, if you will, and I circulated that to every candidate that we could find in the United States that was running outside of the Democrat and Republican Party. And we wanted them to latch onto that, and we had a code of conduct that we attached to that, that if you accepted the logo, if you will, it meant you accepted the code of conduct, the platform, if you will, of the Tea Party. Well, it was overnight, the Republican hacks weaseled their way into the Tea Party organizations and took control of them. It happened to me right here in Arizona. And I'll give you an example. We started a thing here in Arizona called the White Mountain Conservatives. When they started it, in Sholo, I was there, and they were going to call it the White Mountain Conservative Republicans. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. If you call it the White Mountain Conservative Republicans, you will not have conservative Democrats, you will not have conservative Libertarians, Independents, in your group. So, that night they voted to call it the White Mountain Independent Conservatives. It didn't take them 4 or 5 months for the Republicans in Navajo County to take control of that group, and it didn't matter what we called it; it became a Republican organization. So I quit going. I just
okay. And actually, let me mention one thing real quick here too. Again, what you guys are talking about is all the reason why we have to have this case: We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. It goes
right
after this very issue. There is another thing, and we. If you play the archives out of American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, you can see the show that had Tina Trenner. She is a broadcaster out of Las Vegas. And when she saw our complaint, she said we need to also take a look at the FCC regs and go after the affiliate stations. And there's a lot of good information on that show if you listen to that. But what she was focusing in, the media, for any media outlet that has a regular FCC license, cable news is a little bit different, but for all the networks and their affiliates, they have to be able to provide serve the public interest. Their mandate is serve the public interest. When you falsely report, you are going against the public interest. And we need to, and she's working on a plan to go after the affiliates to demand that they start reporting or take their licenses from them.
No,
so that's a whole other spin to the media issue.
There's another reason you've got to get rid of Obama, because Obama appointed the director of the FCC. I've listened and watched him in hearings and talking about this, the broadband and what they've done there. And if I went into that, I could make your hair hurt. But this guy is not the friend of the people.
No, he's not.
Nope. So the only way we're going to fix this is we've got to get Obama out of office, and whoever replaces him or comes in November, the American people are going to have to continue to put pressure on him to get this ship turned around and headed in the right direction.
Yep.
Okay.
We're speaking
and yes, I'm sorry, Doreen, were you saying something?
I was digging through. There's a group, and I'm going to put this out there for anyone that belongs to it, so you can include them in on this mail-in that we're sending. There's a group called Americans for Legal Immigration, ALIPAC, and they're a great, hard-working group. And if you belong to them, as I do, give them the information about these letters, because that's a multi-million email addresses that they've got, and they'll certainly get behind us as well.
Say what it is again, Americans for Legal...
Legal Immigration.
Okay.
And they're a PAC, so it's ALIPAC .com.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And they mainly fight illegal immigration, but they will get behind this as well, because they know that we have to do this to shut off the borders.
Right.
And are you going to put that in the chat room right now? Did you say you're going to put that out there too?
Oh, I'll put it up in the chat room.
Okay, good. I'll get it off of there.
All right.
That sounds good. Thank you. And, John, were you saying something else? A couple times, I think a couple of us were talking at the same time.
That's okay. I just had a request that when you do send out the final draft, if you could possibly put in there every recommended agency that we need to contact with those demand letters.
We're going to do that.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. And, oh, I was going to ask, when we were on the call the other day, we talked about Sheriff Mack, and you mentioned Sheriff Mack, too. Now, have we got his group engaged in this as well? What's the status with Sheriff Mack and his organization, the constitutional sheriff? Sorry, I couldn't hear anything.
Would you address that to me, Ellen?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Did we hear any more about Sheriff Mack and his group?
I haven't heard from him. I know Sheriff Mack. I have his email address. He gets everything. He gets everything I put out there.
Okay. Okay. I just remembered that somebody was going to try to get hold of him. We actually had the one lady, I think, on the call.
But
then I never did hear what happened.
I have the email address for 3,100 counties in the United States, the county sheriffs. And about 10% of them are bad. They're not good addresses. I'm sorry?
I thought you were talking about bad sheriffs.
Money,
because I want him fired.
Well, we need a new one here, and I think we're probably going to get one, but it'll probably won't be any better than the one we got. But when we were working, and we still are, trying to convince these. Here's one thing we are doing that I want everybody that's listening to know. We're encouraging the county sheriffs in the western half of the United States that the people are behind them, and that they must rescind all law enforcement authority by a Forest Service employee in their respective county. And that is happening. It's slow. It's way too slow. But you can go online and look at videos. Sheriff Lucy in California or Oregon, Josephine County, Gilbertson up in Oregon, Glenn Palmer in Grant County, Oregon. Our sheriff over here in Apache County has done some good things. We got Benny House over in Otero County that's doing an excellent job. And, in fact, in New Mexico, our little issue that we've been working
very
on.
Good.
I'm sorry? Somebody said
something. I heard someone else saying something. John, were you saying something?
No, but I wanted to when I get
go ahead.
Bruce, do you keep in contact with the guys from ObamaBallotChallenge.com?
I get their emails every day. And as a matter of fact, their work gets posted on Yahoo's front page. Some of mine gets posted on there. But yes, I do keep track of that.
Yes, because they have a pretty big movement here in South Florida. And I just went to a town hall meeting that they had, and they talked about Mr. Klayman, Larry Klayman, representing the gentleman that filed the suit in Florida.
Right.
And they have a pretty big email list from what I understand.
Here's what you need to do. You need to send me your email address.
Yeah, you have it.
Oh, do I?
Yeah,
okay.
you send me stuff over.
All right. Well, then what you need to do is get it to them, and since you're in Florida, they'll pay more attention to you than they will me in Arizona. Tell them to get on this thing, and because they're working towards the same goal we are. Anyway, that's what I would do.
The project manager for Florida, his name is Sam Sewell.
Sam what?
Sewell, S-E-W-E-L-L.
Okay.
And I have his personal email address at home. And you can probably get it as well on ObamaBallotChallenge.com.
Okay.
But he has a very big email list.
TeaParty.org is going to help us.
Beautiful.
Dale's got a terrific database, and I talked to him yesterday on the phone. That's the other thing. If you can think of somebody to talk to personally on the phone that you know has a large email database, for, like, say, a candidate that you knew that ran in the last cycle, those folks are going to have a fairly decent, at least 400 or 500 email addresses. And if they lost and they were on the right side of these issues, they will have maintained those addresses. So that's another source.
I will try and get in touch with Sam Sewell tomorrow and get him your information.
Okay, good deal. Good deal.
All right.
And John, you have my email address, right?
Yes.
Use it if a thought occurs to you. Use it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You do the thing.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it sounds like
we have
right now. I know we've got a lot of stuff going on here in Florida. We've got Edna, who's up in the Pasco County area. John, who's in South Florida. Charlie and I here in Central Florida. So I think we've got a lot of coverage here in Florida for you, which is excellent.
Well, here's the problem we have in Arizona.
We know Arnie's got California covered.
Yeah.
God bless him. He's a very hard worker.
Yeah. Yeah, Arnie's doing a great job. He's doing
really
a great
is.
Job. The problem we have in Arizona is that we have a lot of transits. People that have come in from other states, a lot of them don't even register here. They live here, but they keep their registration at home, and that's kind of been a problem that we've seen in the voting cycles. But I got to tell you, these emails came in from all over the country today. I was surprised I didn't get more out of the North Dakota, South Dakota, and up in that area, but because I have several addresses for up there. I've got a young lady that ran for a House seat in Minnesota. She's got a terrific email database, and I've been emailing her. She's assured me she's on board. And if we can get out of this first wave, say, 50,000 people, and those 50,000, everybody you talk to, you got to say, now you got to spread the word. It can't stop with you. You've got to spread the word. And if those 50,000 will go out there to 100 people themselves, I'm telling you, it doesn't take long. Like Doreen said, it doesn't take long. Next thing you know, we've got some major numbers here, and they will start paying attention to it. I can see the media paying attention to you.
Yeah.
Real
right
quick.
Now, the, Yeah, the media, I've tried, you know, I was going to mention that too. It's interesting. We tell people to pound on the door of the local media, which goes back to that FCC thing, and demand that they start reporting this stuff. But they truly, they don't care because they are owned and controlled by the two political parties just as much, and the actual elected public servants who play games with access and things like that. So we got to get enough numbers out there that the media can't ignore it.
Well, up in Washington, there's a fellow named Lars Larson, a friend of mine up there emailed me today, and I listen to him when I go to Montana. He's a great talk show. And she said, Bruce, you need to get a hold of Lars Larson. And I'm going to do that tomorrow because Lars has got a terrific following with conservatives in Oregon, Washington, Montana, Idaho, and up in that part of the country. So I'm going to try to make that connection tomorrow. And I know he's on the page we're on. And then, you know, you got Rusty Humphreys. We've got some talk shows that if a few people around the country will call in the Rusty show or even Michael Savage, you know. Whatever. Try every venue you can think of. And the more people that hit the same venues or the same people, the more influence it'll have. And we can do this thing.
Oh, I just thought of something, another venue. This weekend is the weekend that Dave Betts is having his deal in Dallas. And people are flying in from all over, and tea partiers are going to be there, and tea partiers that care, not, and people have to understand, because group has the name Tea Party on them does not mean that they all stand for the same thing.
That's right.
But Dave Beck is going to have his thing in Dallas this weekend, and it's going to be huge. And there's going to be, did I say his name wrong?
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, Glenn Beck. I'm sorry. Duh. CRS. And give these letters in the hands of people you know that are going there. I know Dale's going this weekend. And get hands and people, letters in the hands of people that are going there this weekend, and let them pass them up out there. That would be wonderful.
That's right.
Start passing them out.
That's right.
Right. And Charlie and I are, Charlie today, he's joined us on the show just a few minutes ago here, but he was at the Florida Home Education Homeschooling Convention, and tomorrow and Saturday we're going to be there too, so we're going to be getting signatures. We're taking copies of the public notice of demand with us, and we're going to start collecting signatures and getting people involved on it too. So, and that's usually a pretty busy event, so I'm looking forward to getting some information there too.
Good.
I think those next 2 weeks is going to be something, but the kickoff is Memorial Day, remembering that Take Back America this Memorial Day. We've got to stand up and be counted. We cannot plan or expect anybody in public office to do any of this. The process has been so corrupted, and I really do think it's interesting. When I talk to people and, you know, they talk about the corrupt elections in some other country and this and that, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Would you go look in the mirror? Would you go look and see what's happening right here in your own country? You know, the elections here are corrupt, and now they want George Soros to count the votes? What is that about?
Oh.
I mean,
Does this one get you like it does me? You're raising Cain about these congressmen not doing anything. You wonder if they've got all their heads are stuck in the sand and looking like a bunch of ostriches standing around White House up there. And they say, well, they're afraid they won't get reelected. I said, what in the hell are you talking about? What do you mean? If they don't do something, they're not going to get reelected. If they get off their butts and do something, hell, we wouldn't mind sending them back again.
That's right.
You know,
yep.
Maybe
yep.
Maybe we ought to elect people that are old like me
and
probably wouldn't last more than one term.
I said I'd be glad to go. I wouldn't stay up there more than two turns because I know they'd be chasing me out.
Well, you know, Ron Paul's not going to run for re-election, okay? And
right.
and he's healthy as a horse. And 4 years of Ron Paul, a Ron Paul administration, and we'd have our country back. We'd have our Supreme Court back, because whoever sits in that oval chair, that oval office next time, the chances are real good they're going to appoint at least three justices.
Yeah.
At least. And we cannot have Obama in that chair appointing. Now, I got to tell you, Elaine Kagan came out with a decision today that was good.
That's a miracle.
Oh,
it was a miracle. Yeah. And I listened, and I got to tell you, I listened to Sotomayor during the Obamacare hearings when Torelli was making a fool out of himself. And Paul Clement did a phenomenal job in his testimony there in the Supreme Court. But Sotomayor, it was obvious, and she even told him, she said, you know, you need to find something else, because what you're blathering about here ain't selling. And the guy didn't know what he was talking about. And here's the truth with Obamacare. You can't defend a negative. You just
That's
can't
right.
defend it.
Somehow Ginsburg up there, she can defend anything against, you know, she hates the Constitution. And that's another deal. I said, how can a Supreme Court justice stay on the bench when you've openly declared you don't believe in the Constitution?
That's right. When you'd support some other country's Constitution over your own, you should be impeached and run out of town.
Yep.
Anyway,
can I chime in here one more time? I apologize.
No.
Sure, go ahead.
When I was explaining to you about that guy Sam down in Naples there, the ObamaBallotChallenge.com, when one of the journalists, I believe it's Naples Daily News, I have it written down on the paperwork at home, the journalist came to him to do a story and put it in the paper. So maybe you and him can get together and get some exposure that way.
Naples Daily News?
I believe. I'm not 100%, but I'll email you the paperwork that I have.
Okay. All right. Okay. I can look it up on the web, but...
I'm not 100% on the paper, but he's a younger journalist, but he got out there and he got this story in the paper that a resident was filing a ballot challenge claim against Obama, and he put it in the paper.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. I talked to Carl Swenson yesterday. Carl's on board. He's going to do what he can, send out to who all he can. And I'm really excited about this. I see Amnesty McCain all over again.
Well, I tell you, I think we can do it. I think there's enough people. I love the fact that it takes a minority to make a difference. You don't have to have the majority to make a difference.
That's
because
right.
We know, unfortunately, as Tina was explaining on the show the other night, so you go with the burning the fire in the theater routine. 10% of the people will take charge and lead people out. 80% of the people will follow the 10% and go out, to safety. The other 10% will run into the fire. That's where we're at, and so we truly are. 10% is the key number that we have to get engaged and to get focused here to make a difference. And I feel like we're going to get it done. I'm quite optimistic with everything I'm seeing.
Well, Sally, I want to thank you for letting me do this.
I want to thank all of you.
And I'm excited. Appreciate you letting me. Appreciate you getting involved with it and helping with it. And it's been amazing what's happened in the last 15, 16 hours. And so I'm all smiles and ready to go.
Okay. Well, just go ahead and give everybody your email address or website address, whichever. We're getting down to the last 5 minutes of the show here. Wrap up of anything you want to give them.
My email address is Arizona Sentinel, Sentinel, at AOL.com. And got any questions or suggestions? fire them away, you know. It's going to take a lot of team effort here, and but we'll win this thing if we all work together and keep focused and not get sidetracked by a lot of these other little issues. We've got to stay on target.
Yes, sir.
Yep, that's exactly it. We've got several key issues to address, but let's go after the Obama thing first, focus on that, and
yep.
Then Charlie and I will continue to do some of our work in the background on the We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. Tina Trenner is going to be out there doing the thing on the FCC. So these other people are getting other things coordinated, but we've got to really go after this Obama thing right now.
Sally, if you have a chance, I'd like to talk to her.
Oh, okay. I will set that up for you. I'll get
okay.
you in touch with her.
All right.
Most definitely. And, we'll plan on having a special show next Wednesday. Our regular shows for American Statesman Blog Talk Radio are Monday and Thursdays. But we will go ahead and plan on doing the Wednesday show for the call. And if anything else happens, Bruce and I will get together and check it out. But I'll have it open out there, and we'll plan on doing the same thing again next Wednesday. And please, please get out there, get the word out there. It's up to us. It truly is up to us. It's the patriots who are gonna save this country. The sheeple are gonna be the sheeple no matter what, and the crooks that are in office are gonna be the crooks. As long as we keep letting them do this, the discussion about the corporation and everything and the property, I want to go over that a little bit more too, because I know so many people don't have any clue about that. I'm definitely not what I would call well educated on it, but I know basically what it is. And people need to understand what their rights are. And what, and just like you say, saying you're a sovereign citizen of these United States of America, make sure you address yourself as such and stop being a corporate citizen routine and stuff like that. So anyway, like I say, we're down to the last couple of minutes. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for getting this going. Doreen, thank you for everything you're doing out there too, John. Together,
we'll
make it. Yes, sir.
We got to remove the cancer.
Exactly. We have cancer, and it's called Barack Hussein Obama, and we also have another cancer called the politician. So we got to get rid of both of them. So let's go after Barack first and take back the country there. And, that is it for right now. Thank you for tuning in. This has been an excellent discussion. Everybody, please have a very happy and safe Memorial Day. Tune in Memorial Day. We are having a special for Memorial Day, honoring those who have fallen for us. They go out there and sacrifice for us. They put their life on the line for us. It's about time we stood up and were counted and protected the homeland here. And instead of going out and buying mattresses, forget the stupid sales. Be an American and respect those who have died for this country.
Amen.
Okay. On that note, thank you. God bless America. And you guys have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Sally.
Night.
Bye.
Good night.
Night.
I can always hear Doreen's dog bark.
And he's outside.
Okay.
Great show.
Yes, thank you. And we will be talking. I'll send out the information from the chat room so everybody has that too.
Okay,
and,
please.
Thank you again. Talk to you later.
All right. Night-night.